You are Locked On Orioles, your daily Baltimore Orioles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome right back in Locked On Orioles podcast. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb. On today's episode, we are going to look back and do a little recap of Game 2 of the World Series from last night with the Rays evening up the series against the Dodgers. We give a little Orioles news concerning the use of Oriole Park at Camden Yards coming up over the next couple of weeks. And then the Gold Glove Award finalists were announced today, hopping on to record just after the announcement. And one Oriole did make the top three at his position trying to win a Gold Glove. And we will tell you who that is coming up after the break. But first of all, World Series Game 2 last night, as the Rays defeat the Dodgers by a final score of 6-4 to tie the World Series up at one game apiece. And of course, the star of last night's game that everybody has been talking about was the Rays second baseman, Brandon Lau, who has been in a heck of a slump this entire postseason. After leading the Rays in most offensive categories in the regular season, Lau finally breaking out of it last night. He hit a solo home run in the first inning off of Tony Gonsolin to give Tampa Bay a 1-0 lead, and then later in the fifth, hit a two-run homer off of Dustin May to put the Rays up 5-0 at that time. Now, the Dodgers did stage a comeback. Chris Taylor hit a home run in the fifth, Will Smith in the sixth, Corey Seager in the eighth. All of a sudden, it was a 6-4 game, but the Rays bullpen got it done again. They got 4 2/3 innings out of Blake Snell, then 4 outs from Nick Anderson, 5 from Pete Fairbanks, 3 outs from Aaron Loop, and Diego Castillo came in and finished out the ball game, faced just one batter, threw 3 pitches, and struck out Chris Taylor to end it. So series tied up, one game apiece, off day today on Thursday, and then it's game 3 on Friday, 8:08 p.m. Eastern time, start on Fox. Really, really good pitching matchup coming up in this one. These two guys have been dynamite in the playoffs, couple of right-handers. It's Walker Buehler for the Dodgers and the veteran with all the postseason success, Charlie Morton for the Rays, who, of course, was fantastic for Tampa in Game 7 of the ALCS against the Houston Astros. But that should be good coming up, and sticking with the pick. My pick still, Rays in 7 to win this World Series over the Dodgers. And it's been a good two games so far, but really the X factor, you know, the Rays offense has not been very good so far in this postseason. Going into last night's game, they were averaging just 3.1 runs per game, and it still managed to get themselves to the World Series. A lot of good pitching, great bullpen usage from Kevin Cash, and really getting the key hits. They're hitting home runs. Last night, they set the record for most homers in a postseason. They now have 28. But that's really all the offense they've been getting. Haven't really strung together any big innings. However, as I mentioned, their best hitter, Brandon Lau, he has been the guy all season. He's been a no-show in the postseason, and to get the two homers from him last night, that is huge for the Rays offense going forward. He's going to hit either second or third in this lineup pretty much every night, and to have him out there and hitting like the Rays know he can, led the team with the 14 home runs in the regular season. That is a big push forward for this Rays offense. And of course, always great, Brandon Lau, as am I. He a Terp, went to University of Maryland, and showing out in the World Series. So good to see that. Again, Game 3 is on Friday, and we do get an off day today. Did not have off days during the championship series, but we will get one here today. Two off days built in the World Series today, and then there will be an off day on Monday, if the World Series is not decided by then, as it could be if one of these teams wins the next three on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend, but it's been a good series so far. But around Major League Baseball, other news coming out, as you know, it's been a week of news for Major League Baseball. We had Rob Manfred come out and say that he would like to see the expanded playoffs and the runner on second and extra innings rule continue. There was some talk today that potentially Major League Baseball may go back to the DH being just in the American League for 2021 and then reassess it in the new collective bargaining agreement, with the old one expiring after the 2021 season. So we could have something that would be honestly really dumb with the Universal DH in 2020 go back to just in the AL for 21, and then it's more than likely that they would institute it permanently going forward starting in 2022. So that is something to keep an eye on as well. But also, we have made it close to award season here, as today on Thursday afternoon started what will be going on for the next couple of weeks with Major League Baseball naming the finalists for their major awards and then giving out those awards sometime in early November. And it started today with naming the finalists for the Rawlings Gold Glove Awards. And for the Orioles, there were really two names that we thought could be on these finalist lists. You thought Cedric Mullins might have a shot for center field in the American League, and then Anthony Santander for right field in the American League. And coming up after the break, we will tell you if either of those guys got on this Gold Glove list. We'll look at the chances that an Oriole does win a Gold Glove here in 2020. Look at who could maybe win one going forward for the Orioles, and take a look back at the O's history recently in winning the Gold Glove. So that all comes up right after this break. One reason to repair and maintain your cars is to save money, so you can use that money for other important things, like a mortgage or food. But why would you choose to spend 30, 50, or 100% more for the exact same auto parts at a chain store or a new car dealership? That's where rockauto.com comes in. They have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. And best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. So as we mentioned before the break, it is award season in Major League Baseball, and Rawlings announcing the three finalists at each position in both the American League and the National League for the Gold Glove Awards here in 2020. And you know, these Gold Glove Awards, along with the other awards, you know, it's going to feel a little less just because you're going off of 60 games instead of the usual 162 games, and you know, guys can have hot streaks. This will apply more to the Silver Slugger Awards and things like that. But you know, there were still a good amount of games. But there's some guys in these finalists lists that, you know, played less than 50, some of them less than 40 games in this 60 game season. But for the Orioles, as we mentioned before, there were two potential candidates to be on this finalist list. They were both in the outfield in the American League. We thought potentially Cedric Mullins in center and potentially Anthony Santander in right field. Both were definitely candidates. Now, Cedric Mullins did get left out, but the Orioles do have one Gold Glove finalist here in 2020, and that is Anthony Santander. He is a finalist for the Gold Glove Award in right field in the American League. For Santander this season, an incredible difference that he made, obviously at the plate, but also, and maybe more strikingly, in the field. You know, he was really, you know, at best it seemed a league average right fielder the last couple of seasons. He took that up a couple of notches here in 2020. Another reason why it was so disappointing to see him go down with that oblique injury, miss the last few weeks of the season. Because not only was he the Orioles' best hitter at that point, he was maybe their best defender, and that shows with him being the Orioles' only Gold Glove finalist. Santander, this season in right field for the Orioles, he played 303 and a third innings in right for the O's, ended up with 8 defensive runs saved on the season. Now, you look at that among the rest of the league's right fielders, that is the third best number in all of baseball and the second best number in the American League with the 8 defensive runs saved for Santander. You also look at outs above average. This is a stat that comes from StatCast. Outs above average, it just reads you the definition, the cumulative effect of all individual plays a fielder has been credited or debited with, making it a range-based metric of fielding skill that accounts for the number of plays made and the difficulty of them. For example, A fielder who catches 25% out probability play gets a plus 0.75. One who fails to make that play gets a minus 0.25. So essentially, outs above average, if you want to think about it real simply, it's basically in the name. How many outs are you giving to your team above the average player at that position? And the leader among right fielders in the league this year was Mookie Betts, the Dodgers right fielder, 6 outs above average for Betts this season. You look at Santander, and he had the one, just 1 out above average. However, among qualified players, that is good for 7th best in all of baseball and 4th best in the American League, where he sits behind 3 others. But 1 out above average, pretty good still for Santander. And he was at his best this season, according to the StatCast numbers, at actually going on balls that were straight back over his head. That's where he really improved in right field this season, and it shows as he is a Gold Glove finalist. Now, the two guys he is competing with in right field here, actually two names you maybe would not expect to be in this right field category. And frankly, you know, if you're more of a casual baseball fan coming in and looking at right field in the American League, you're probably surprised with all three names, including Santander. So your three finalists are Anthony Santander, and then it's Joey Gallo of the Rangers and Clint Frazier of the Yankees. Now, Frazier, a surprise because, you know, he was always seen as a guy who did not have a good glove out there in the outfield. That was one of the reasons why over the past couple of years, even though the Yankees knew that Frazier could hit, he couldn't seem to find a place not only in the starting lineup, but even on the Yankees roster at times. You know, it felt like he spent a lot of time at AAA when he was definitely a major league caliber player. And that was because they didn't feel they could put him in the outfield. And, you know, because of guys like Judge and Stanton on the roster, the outfield slash DH role was pretty filled up for the Yankees as well. And even when those guys would go down with injuries, the Yankees were finding other guys like, you know, for example, guys like Aaron Hicks and Mike Talkman, Cameron Maybin at times last year, you know, who could come in and, you know, maybe wouldn't have the bat of Frazier, but they felt like brought such better defense and the bat was still solid that they took those guys over Clint Frazier in those positions. Well, that hasn't been the case this year, as Frazier really upped his defense out there in right field for the Yankees, getting much more of a chance to play out there, especially with the injury to Aaron Judge this year. And Frazier with 2 outs above average on the season out in right field, and he had 4 defensive runs saved. So he did sit behind Santander, and he played almost 100 less innings in right field than Santander. So I would say out of the three, Clint Frazier probably the third most likely or least likely of the three finalists to win the award. So I think it does come down to Santander and then Joey Gallo. And obviously, you know, when most people think of Joey Gallo, they think of all the home runs he hits. He's a big power hitter. And you kind of feel like he's just a guy, well, he's a power hitter, and he's a little better fielder than most. So instead of first base, they're able to put him out in right field and get another guy at first base. That's not really the case for Joey Gallo. He is a really good right fielder, and the metrics completely back that up. For Gallo, he had 3 outs above average in right field. That led all American League right fielders this season and was tied for 2nd in all of baseball, behind, of course, Mookie Betts with the 6. He also, on the season, led all Major League right fielders in defensive runs saved, according to Fangraphs. He was even better than Betts at that position. He also played about 457 innings in right field, and because of Santander's injury, Gallo basically had 150 more innings out there in the field to get graded on. He had 12 defensive runs saved, Mookie Betts had 11, and then Santander 3rd in the league with 8. So I don't think Clint Frazier will win this award, but if Santander doesn't win it, I do think, you know, you look at the resume, Joey Gallo might have a little bit better of a resume to win this Gold Glove award and take away the chance for Santander to potentially win his first Gold Glove of his career. But if he doesn't get it next year, you know, hopefully he gets hopefully he gets a full season next year and continue throughout his career to try and win one. And if you look back, you know, this isn't just for Santander. The Orioles would love for somebody to win a Gold Glove here. You think back to the Orioles' most recent stretch of success, really, 2012 through 2016. You know, 15 and 16, they didn't win any gold gloves, but, you know, you go back to 2012, you had three gold glove winners in Adam Jones, Matt Wieters, and J.J. Hardy. 2013, you had three more, Manny Machado, J.J. Hardy, Adam Jones. 2014, Nick Markakis and Adam Jones each win gold gloves. Even back in 2011, Matt Wieters and Nick Markakis. They had a four-year stretch there from 2011 to 2014 where there were at least two gold glove winners in the Orioles lineup. And then you go back, you know, back into the 90s when Mike Mussina would win them all and Rafael Palmeiro won a lot. Cal won a few. Eddie Murray won a lot of gold gloves. Jim Palmer. And then, of course, Brooks Robinson just ate up the gold gloves his entire career. But for the Orioles, it has been a while. There has not been an Oriole to win a gold glove award since 2014. Again, that year, Markakis won it in right field. Adam Jones won it in center. There's not been a winner since then. And frankly, you know, guys like Jones lost a step a bit. You know, Hardy started to get a little injured, took away from him his ability to win that. Really, you know, the guy that was closest in that time is, you know, Manny Machado and Jonathan Scope to an extent as well, as Matt Wieters' defense started to fall off as well. And Scope and Machado are both finalists this year as well with their other teams. Manny Machado, a finalist in the National League at third base, of course, with the Padres. And then Jonathan Scope is a finalist at second base in the American League as he was a good hitter and good defender, and he was with the Detroit Tigers this season. So the hope is that Santander does win that gold glove, get the Orioles' first one in 6 years. And either way, you know, whether he wins it or not, it does feel like he probably has the second best case, and I would lean towards Gallo probably winning it in right field in the AL. But for the Orioles and for Santander, just a huge win for them to not only see his bat explode this year, but to see the defense get so much better. And you can really pencil him into the number three spot, put him in right field next year. You feel really, really good about Anthony Santander. And the hope is, hey, maybe he can still win that gold glove. What a great, you know, kind of finish it would be to his season if he could cap it off with a gold glove this year. But Santander patrolling right field at Camden Yards this year, and he, you know, we hope he'll be patrolling right field for years to come for the Orioles at Camden Yards. Hopefully down the line, the next time they're a winner, you see Anthony Santander out there below the big scoreboard at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. But speaking of Oriole Park, before we let you go, some official news coming out today. We had heard the rumors and the talks about Oriole Park being open as an early voting center and a polling place for this upcoming presidential election. And the news made official today here on Thursday. Oriole Park will be open and you can vote at Oriole Park not only on Election Day, but you can do early voting there as well. So that will start on October 26th. That is 4 days from now. So starting on Monday, October 26th, stretching through Election Day on Tuesday, November 3rd, from 7 a.m. Eastern to 8 p.m., you can head to Oriole Park at Camden Yards and you can cast your ballot and vote at the yard. So a good initiative taken by the Orioles. Of course, the state of Maryland and the Stadium Authority, I'm sure, had something to do with it as well. But a big place to vote, obviously a lot of space if you're worried about in-person voting and the coronavirus pandemic as well. You can vote at Oriole Park at Camden Yards, again, starting October 26th for early voting every day through Election Day on November 3rd. Also, if you requested a mail-in ballot, there are two ballot boxes in front of the warehouse at Camden Yards where you can also drop off your ballot as well. So the Orioles in the stadium there making it a lot easier and giving people more options to vote here in 2020, and we hope you exercise that right and do just that here this year with Camden Yards being another option. And what's cooler than going to cast your vote at the most beautiful ballpark in baseball? So that's it for today. Tomorrow we'll be back with you on the pod. We'll get you set for World Series Game 3. We'll talk a little bit about some more award finalists that are coming up, see if the Orioles might be present in any more than just Santander today in the Gold Glove Award. But if you're liking what you're hearing on the pod, please subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you are listening right now. Give us a rating and a review if you can. It really, really helps out the pod. But we will be back with you tomorrow. Until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.